We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello and welcome back to the RotoViz Basketball Podcast on RotoViz Radio. My name is Colin Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at OverTimeIreland. And today I am joined by one of the RotoViz writers, a very special guest on today's show. It is Michael Dubner, who you can follow at Dubner_Michael on Twitter. He is the featured fantasy football analyst at RotoViz.com. And one of his recent pieces really caught my eye, so I thought that we would get him on. Perfect opportunity to get him on the basketball show to talk about when you should be drafting these best ball teams in tournaments to try and become a best ball champion. And last year, Michael, I came in second place. Second place with Sean Siegel and Blair Andrews to our very own Connor O'Driscoll. This year, I want to go one step better. So I want every edge that I can get one of those top place finishes. So we're trying to figure out when the optimal time to do that is. So we're going to talk about that on today's show. But the first thing I have to do is welcome you to the podcast. So Michael, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very good. Thanks for having me on, Colm. You know, this is certainly my favorite time of the fantasy football offseason, as I just, you know, I feel the best ball energy picking up more and more each and every week. And there's still just so much to uncover about how we should be attacking drafts this year. And so I think that kind of exploration is my favorite part of the offseason. And as you kind of alluded to, you know, for anyone that's been reading RotoViz the past couple of years, they're certainly familiar with my annual optimal draft month article that I've done each of the last 4 years. And if you're, you know, if you're new to this concept though of draft month, that's okay too, because this year we have some exciting findings that are new compared to previous years.
Yeah, I think it's, I'm really looking forward to it. I really enjoyed the article, but I think anytime I can get to pick the brain of the person who wrote it, and that's one of the advantages of doing the podcast with Sean, for example, you get to just ask the questions you're thinking of that maybe the readers are thinking of. So hopefully we get some more intriguing insights there. You mentioned that you've done this for the last couple of years and the optimal side of it. I think what's so much fun now is like we've had best ball tournaments over those years, and we've obviously had normal best ball leagues as well, but this year it has really exploded. And you know, we were doing the never too early drafts and the rookie drafts before the NFL draft. Now we're past the NFL draft and we've got so much to dive into. So maybe people are, you know, I'm getting some DMs, I'm getting some tweets about, you know, I'm going to try best ball this year, but I'm going to wait to August or I'm going to wait to June to start jumping in. Your piece, is it given a different time to be diving into these for the people that might be thinking about waiting?
Well, we'll certainly see. You know, I think in past years, we've kind of discussed the importance of drafting late in the offseason. So we'll see in the findings here, I'll allude to it, that drafting early might have some advantages too.
Well, let's not beat about the bush. Let's jump into it. We'll give teasers throughout the show, but let's not tease too much. But what are some of the things that we'll go first of the best time to draft, then we'll dive into maybe why those things do matter. But when are you recommending that we jump into these leagues?
No, I think that the idea of a barbell approach to draft month is how I plan on attacking drafts. And barbell meaning, you know, weighted on one side, weighted on the other, but kind of nothing in between. So I plan on attacking the drafts very early, right when they were released in May. And then once when we kind of get into those June and July months, I'll decrease the amount of drafts I'm doing in these big tournaments that are filling it throughout the entire offseason. And then when we come back in August, we'll be in September, we're going to be drafting heavily again. But, you know, in those June and July months when you're not drafting in, say, the Best Ball Mania 3, that doesn't mean we're not playing best ball, but we're going to be drafting in the other smaller tournaments that are going to be popping up throughout the offseason, such as the Puppy, which are traditionally filled in such as a week time frame. So in those drafts, the draft month doesn't matter quite as much because they're all filled so quickly. But these tournaments that are filled, huge tournaments with a ton of entries that take the entire offseason to fill, those are the tournaments we have to be thinking about draft month. And those are the ones where a barbell approach seems optimal.
Yeah, and I think we're seeing that being talked about a little bit on Twitter over the last week or so since you released this article. So I think like people who are sharp and thinking that way are really trying to see how they approach it. Obviously, there's limits to how many you can enter. I know some people might be wanting to have one or two entries in some of these tournaments, but you know there is max caps. Some people are going for 150 entries. You know, it just depends on how you're doing it. We are also going to be talking on the next episode about player exposures, but this is a perfect time to just give a quick plug to your Best Ball Tracker, which is free. You can check out Mike's Twitter to be able to see all the options that, but you need to track those player exposures. But we will be talking more about that in the next episode of the Best Ball Show. But one of the main reasons to be drafting early in the offseason is that inefficient ADP. We talk about this year on year. Myself and Sean have talked a lot about it on the Overtime podcast. Curtis Patrick has done some great work on it, looking at the rookie picks pre-draft and post-draft and how they increase and value and some of the inefficiencies there at ADP. Is that what you're seeing, or is there some other areas that you're seeing the inefficiencies appear?
Yeah, you know, I think if we kind of take a step back for a moment, you know, and discuss why draft month actually matters in the first place. Because I think that if you're used to a traditional best ball format where you're just competing against the other 11 people in your 12 team league, in that case, draft month doesn't matter at all because, like we said, we're all drafting in one draft, competing against each other. We're not competing against people in other drafts. But in these tournaments where you're competing against people drafting throughout the entire offseason, it is possible that draft month and when you specifically are drafting your league matters. And of course, I think that the, our initial belief should be that draft month doesn't matter. It's kind of you have to prove it to me that draft month does matter, which we do see here. And we'll kind of discuss those reasons why, such as you mentioned, you know, in the early draft, you might see inefficient ADP. But so from like a macro lens, let's first understand that draft month could impact our best ball rosters and our ability to advance in the playoffs to get to the final championship week and have the upside to actually win a tournament. And so, like you mentioned, if you're drafting early in the offseason, one of those advantages, and again, if we're taking a barbell approach to draft month, we want to be drafting either very early or very late, but not really in between. And so one of the advantages, theoretical reasons why drafting early is beneficial is because of that inefficient ADP. There's a lot less articles out in the offseason. There's a lot less information available. People haven't really dived into all of the different changing dynamics such as rookies and free agency and how the entire season has changed from the previous year. And so there can be a lot more inefficient ADP early in the offseason, meaning you're able to get a lot more value. You can get these late round players that become early round picks early in the offseason. That's impossible to do later in the offseason. And so drafting early in the offseason, your primary advantage that you're seeking is targeting these players that are going to rise throughout the offseason.
I think as well, like I'll just give a quick plug to the article itself. It will be linked in today's show notes, but like everything on RotoViz, there's a visual element to it and seeing these. We're talking about barbells and the reason for that then and the rise and fall in ADP. And when we're looking at some of the graphics that you've in here in the piece, Michael, it's very obvious to some of those parts. The other part I was going to mention is the fact sometimes, like you touched on there with the people diving into the rookies and the other information, a lot of the time because we're so heavily involved in fantasy football and consuming the content and making content and drafting ourselves, sometimes we're like, oh, everyone's doing this all year long. And I think then we sometimes trick ourselves into not thinking that that advantage is there early in the off season. So I think that falls into two, and people just want to get in and do some drafts and maybe they don't have the information behind it to back that up. Anything else on the early side of things that you want to mention before we move on to the late season window?
No, I think, you know, just to give an example, such as, you know, Sky Moore, RotoViz is, you know, favorite rookie receiver now in Sean's Chiefs. Early in the offseason, you were able to get him in probably like the 18th round of best ball drafts. Now I see him going oftentimes in the top 100 picks. So if you wanted your Sky Moore exposure early, in the later rounds, you had to do that early. You can't possibly get him after, you know, the 10th round at this point. So that's like a clear example of some of the value in drafting early in the offseason. And that's, you can get these crazy rises in ADP that aren't even injury related, such as, you know, the starting running back getting injured and the backup spiking ADP. Sometimes you just have players that are just, you know, frankly mispriced from the beginning. And so drafting early lets you take advantage of that.
Yeah, you mentioned Sky Moore, and I touched on the rookies pre-draft and post-draft, but some of the veterans as well, particularly at the quarterback position in your article that you've highlighted, is Jameis Winston and Tua, who have both jumped 45 plus picks over the last pretty much 3 weeks. So there is a huge jump in their ADPs, but the rookies as well. Christian Watson goes up 44 spots and Tyler Allgeier goes up 42 spots. So massive jumps when we're looking at multiple rounds in that ADP. So I think definitely an advantage there, but we are going to get into some more of the late stuff. We're going to do that after this short break.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We talked about the early offseason and the advantages. What are you, the barbell is what we're going to keep coming back to here. So anyone that's into weightlifting or not into weightlifting, you have weights at one side, you have weights at the other side, and then you have a kind of the bar in between. So you have a lean spell. So I guess you can go whichever way you want here. Do you want to say the late season advantages, or do you want to talk about why there's that lean period in the middle where we're maybe not drafting?
I think they kind of go hand in hand. So let's start off with, you know, the late offseason advantage. And, you know, I think that while early in the offseason you have these ADP inefficiencies, late in the offseason, if you kind of believe in like the efficient market hypothesis, you know, ADPs start to become pretty efficient late in the offseason. There are less, you know, egregious values at that point. And of course, we all have our favorite players that we think are undervalued. But as a general, you know, rule, most of the players are, you know, pretty appropriately priced. But late in the offseason, we do have this information advantage that those drafting early did not have. For example, you could have, you know, new injuries pop up or changing depth charts or whatever it might be that, you know, leads to this kind of information late in the offseason that they now have to take advantage of with every single pick. So rather than having these insane ADP values that you, for the late drafters, instead you get these cumulative small effects of information advantage that really add up over the course of 20 picks. So if, you know, the early teams might have that one player that spiked in value, but all of their other picks could have suffered maybe a round loss in ADP value. So they have a lot more higher range of outcomes and variance with their picks. While late in the offseason, we have a lot more information to make the best, you know, decision with each and every pick. And additionally, in addition to this, you know, information advantage late in the offseason, I think probably you know, we don't want to understate this. It's very important, and is who you're actually drafting against. So early in the offseason, it's typically the people who are kind of paying attention all year round. They play best ball all year. They might be entering 150 teams. They've been playing best ball for 5 or 7 years at this point. They're very familiar with player archetypes and roster construction and all of the lessons that make a good best ball player. Late in the offseason, though, on the other hand, you know, we're going to be, you know, we're still going to be playing against these sharp drafters, but you have a much more higher likelihood of playing against these drafters who just pop in for one draft a year. They kind of don't even know the difference between traditional redraft home season long leagues versus best ball leagues. So you see a lot more casual drafters. Some might even call them fish.
Or PPR versus half point PPR, for example, you know, the scoring setting. So there's lots of little edges there.
Yeah, so certainly, you know, late in the offseason, besides the information advantage, I think perhaps more important is just the opponents you're drafting against, and how they're a lot weaker competition late in the offseason, which allows you to build some of these super teams as well. That, you know, early in the offseason, you might get these super teams from ADP risers, while late in the offseason, you can get super teams just because your opponents are making so many mistakes that it allows you to, you know, capitalize each and every round.
Yeah, and we talk a lot, obviously, on rotoviz.com, on the articles and on the podcast about the structure and those elements. And I think that, like you're touching there, some people might get lucky with those early picks, you know, 1, 2, 3 rounds in. But, you know, that structure then is probably going to fall apart after that point. So there is lots of edges. The next question I was going to bring up, and you have this in the article, is kind of, it's a barbell approach, but is it, you know, 40%, 20%, then 40% again, you know, come August? Or is it like, how are you splitting your kind of cash flow or your bankroll throughout that time to get those drafts in?
Yeah, you know, I think mapping out how many drafts you're actually going to do each month is really important, because if you do plan on max entering the contest, you only have a maximum of 150 teams that you can enter into a tournament. Once when you hit 150, you can't kind of redo it and, you know, redistribute your teams. And it's also a lot of money. You're putting almost $4,000 into a best ball contest where you're not going to see results for at least 4 or 5 months. So at least have a plan of how you're going to enter it. I think ultimately, you know, with this type of barbell approach, I plan on putting in a lot of entries early in the first, you know, right when it was released in May. Right now we're about mid-May, so we have another 2 weeks or so for the barbell. Then I plan on taking a break in the summer. I'll still draft, you know, a couple of teams a month, maybe once a week or something, but that's when I really plan on entering the other tournaments, which I do expect a puppy or some other variation of that in the other platforms as well besides Underdog. You know, you have Drafters, you have DraftKings, you have FFPC. You have a lot of different options where they're going to probably be releasing smaller tournaments that fail a lot quicker. So in June and July, we're not just taking a break from best ball, we're just going to be entering the smaller tournaments. And then come August is when we kind of ramp up our drafting again in the bigger tournaments. So the way I have it mapped out in the article, as you can see, is you know, about 18% of drafts in early May, which would be about 27 drafts, which is a lot. That's 27 drafts in 2 weeks. That's about 2 drafts a day. So especially if you're doing slow drafts and a combination of fast drafts, it can certainly be a lot. And then another about 16% in late May, which is 24 drafts. Taking a break in June and July, doing about maybe 5 drafts a month. And then come August and September, we're doing about 25 drafts again per 2 weeks, which is, again, that's 2 drafts a week, which is a lot. Colm, do you think this is a realistic number to achieve if you're only doing fast drafts, not slow drafts?
Do you think to only do 4 drafts in a month, or do you think to do the 51 that you recommend through May? I think sometimes the lesser number can be harder, but when you're trying to hit, you know, 1 to 1 point, I know you can't do 1.3 drafts in a day, but some of those days you'll do 2 drafts, some day you'll do 1 draft, some day you'll do none. That can take a toll throughout a month. That is a lot of drafting to get in there. And some people might be listening and being like, I'm never going to max enter. I'm not going to do 150 lineups. And that means that, you know, let's say you decide I'm going to do 15 lineups. I would still be going with the same similar percentages and having that a little bit leaner in the middle. Just make the number of drafts versus your kind of bankroll or versus the number you're going to do. Like you were saying, Michael, one of the things you can do is get like a little bit of fever at the start and be like, I'm just going to hammer this and let's do 20 drafts. And then you get to August and you're like, I have no funds left to do this. You have to plan it out. It's the same as anyone who's planning to bet all season long or play fantasy football, or like myself or yourself who are doing these drafts. Then I'm thinking about like the FFPC main event, which is $1,900 to play in. You have to plan this ahead, because if you're drafting in May, not thinking about what you need to do in August, you're going to end up that you're going to have to get like a second mortgage on your house or something like that. So you need to plan these ahead always as well. The key is to do it within your limits and make sure you're kind of planning ahead for that reasoning as well. But 150 drafts is a lot, but I think the discipline throughout, and you mentioned like a tournament the size of the Best Ball Mania 3, you know, that may not fill until August. You know, it might come down to the end. There might be some overlay, whereas some of the tournaments, there's going to be, you know, a lot less entrance. If you're playing the FFPC, the numbers are reduced significantly, but the cost of entry is much higher. But it is a case of, you know, maybe pivoting to some of those other tournaments during that time. So you don't want to miss out. You don't want to be like, oh, I'm going to wait to August to draft in this tournament. And then in like, you know, late July, you're like, well, that's sold out. There's no more entries available. But the other part that you have in it is the advance rates for the Best Ball Mania 2, which was last year, to advance from the playoffs to the semifinals and the finals. If we look at early and late May, both of them are above 1.10 advance rates, both advancing pretty positively towards the finals. Throughout early June, late June, July, and so on, all sub one. And then when we get into August, late August and early September, all then above one again. So strong again, the evidence showing what we've discussed already, that early and late approach is proven beneficial over the last couple of seasons. Anything else that you want to add in terms of that overall advance rate?
Yeah, you know, the numbers you were kind of just giving, to give people a visual of it, it's kind of like a U-shaped graph, where when you have draft month on the x-axis and you have advance rates on the y-axis, it's a U-shape in that early in the draft offseason, in May, you have high advance rates. Then they kind of dip down into negative advance rates. And then they come back up once when you get into August and September, you get positive advance rates. So it's kind of that U-shaped curve, which is why we call it also a barbell approach, because you should be drafting a lot early, not drafting during the bottom of the U, and then draft again at the top of the U late in the offseason.
One of my favorite things that you've done in this article too is the excellent work that you've done in the graphic, where you've written good on one side of the graph and bad on the other side. I really enjoyed the artistic impression that went into that.
Yeah, I certainly was not an art major in college, but this is my best shot at it.
Yeah, so no, that I enjoyed that. But when we're getting to the end of this, obviously we're talking about that overall approach of kind of planning out, even if you're not exactly sticking to the barbell method, or maybe, as I said, you're doing less drafts, but it is about thinking about the optimal times to draft and how to draft. And even if it's just that part that I mentioned about planning your bankroll for when you're going to draft, you know, you want this to be fun, but you also want it to be financially stable for yourself. But hopefully at the end of the season, because you're taking the advice that Michael has here and we're following that barbell approach, that's leading to you cashing out with some big prizes at the end of the season. But as we get ready to close off today's show, Michael, anything that we haven't touched on there that you think is vital for the listeners?
I think that you just bring up really good points about the importance, and you know, it's not a sexy topic, but just understanding your bankroll management and, you know, just mapping it out beforehand, because if you're going to put this much financial investment into best ball, you should really just at least have a plan and general understanding of what your strategy is. So, you know, what I would plan to do is, you know, before I start drafting, I think about how much money do I want to put into all of my best ball drafts throughout the entire offseason. Say, let's just make up a whole random number, and I know it's a lot, but let's just say it's $5,000. Well, so maybe I want, you know, 50% of that to be in the big Best Ball Mania 3 tournament. So that's $2,500. And the other 50% is just, you know, it goes to the puppies and the other small drafts and the other platforms. So if I have $2,500 that I want to put into Best Ball Mania 3, well, first of all, you have to recognize that you can't max enter the contest. You're going to get to, what is that, like a 100 drafts and 150 drafts or whatever it might be. So if I'm going to be doing 100 drafts throughout the offseason, I would go to the chart that we have in the article here, and I'd do 100 times 18%. So I'm going to do 18 drafts in early May. I'm going to do 16 drafts in late May, and on and on. And so even if you're not max entering the contest, you should still map out how many drafts you plan to do and when you plan to do them. So that way you do stay within your means and you don't end up accidentally max entering a contest that you didn't want to max enter and put a lot more financial investment in it. Or you might also realize that you didn't draft as much as you wanted to, and that's not fun either. So at the end of the day, we're trying to stay within our means, but also give us the best chance to win $1 million.
The other thing to take away as well, and you just brought something up that jogged my mind, is the reason as well that we don't just lean out and stop drafting altogether is, I think for people who maybe haven't drafted at this time of the year before, or waited all the way through to August to start drafting, you get such an advantage of knowing the ADPs and how they move. So if you're drafting, like I've been drafting since February, you move that on through, you know now where the spots are in drafts, where the edges are and where the value might be a little bit softer. Then we move through and you keep that kind of going. It's kind of like, you know, keeping the muscle fibers. If you're going to the gym, keep them going over, get those mental reps in for those drafts. And then when it comes to August, you're really in top form as well. Whereas some people will be coming in, they'll be coming in cold, like you mentioned, in August and not have that same upside. So lots of good information there from Michael. As I mentioned already, this article will be linked in today's show notes. You can also follow Michael on Twitter as well at @Dubner_Michael. Dubner is spelled D-U-B-N-E-R, and we will have everything linked in today's show notes. We'll be coming back with another episode about player exposure, so make sure you are subscribed to the RotoViz Baseball Podcast feed. As always, you can get a 10% discount to a RotoViz NFL Pass with the code RVRadio2022. That gets you access to all of the content like we talked about today with Michael. It'll also get us access to all of the tools and articles up on site to help you with the optimal draft strategies and information for draft season, draft season never stops for us really, but whenever you are doing your drafts. But until we're back with another show, as always, have a good one.